Jesus Christ until we have become so familiar with the coming of the Lord until nothing seemingly disturbs us anymore. We become accustomed to the preacher getting up and getting loud and shouting and dancing around proclaiming that Jesus Christ is going to come again, but yet we haven't seen it happen. I thought that it would have already taken place. Everything's lined up, and Iraq, I believe, is nothing but an instrument of God that's being used of God. I believe that we're about to usher in the Third World War, if you please, which will be the Battle of Gog and Magog of Ezekiel chapter 37. I believe, and I don't know, no Bible scholar knows whether it's going to happen. The rapture is going to take place just before the battle or immediately at the beginning of the battle. I'm not going to preach prophecy to you. I'm just going to preach truth to you this morning. But I'm trying to let you know. People say, where is the promise of His coming? All things continue as they were from the beginning. But that's nothing but a fulfillment of the sign of the coming of the Lord. For Peter said, they'll say this in the last days. They're saying, he's saying, when he's talking about scoffers, I don't think he's even necessarily talking about the lost world and sinners. I believe he's talking about the church of the living God. We've become so accustomed to the story. We've become so accustomed to the moving of God until we just lightly slough off what's happening and what's taking place around us. In fact, we're like a frog. Look over at somebody and say, you're like a frog. You say, how am I like a frog? You can take a frog, put him in a pot of water, put him on the stove, turn the heat on. If you don't believe it, go catch your bullfrog. You can turn the heat on, and that bullfrog will sit there in the water because the temperature changes ever so gradually that the frog doesn't realize he's in hot water until it's too late. And the devil has had things coming ever so slightly until we saints of God have got accustomed to what's happening around us. Therefore, it doesn't disturb us too much anymore, and we lay it off on this. Oh, it's just the days we're living in. That's how we slough it off. Oh, this is just a time, and it's just like everything else. And what the reality is that the rapture is going to catch multitudes of saved setting saints of God. You say, well, I'm going to go in the rapture. No. No, you say, well, I thought the blood of Jesus Christ done it. It does. But after you're covered with the blood of Jesus Christ, you've got to still shake yourself and be alive and be aware of what's going on. Can you say amen? Amen. I know that preachers will tell you that all you got to do, give your heart to God. But I think after you're saved, you're not saved and sitting. You're not saved and sipping, saints. You're saved and delivered, saints of God. Can you say amen? In the book of Luke chapter 17, from a scripture reading, I just said all that to tell you that everything's lined up. The Middle East is lined up. They're flying a U-2 over today. And I thank God for Clinton having enough guts to do it. We may lose a U-2 pilot. We may do that. But I think that Saddam, as Bush called him, his name is Saddam. Bush always called him Saddam. And Saddam means a dirty dog. And I don't think Bush was so uneducated that he didn't know his name was Saddam instead of Saddam. Hello? Difference in the meaning of the words. But everything is lined up. And as you listen to this message this morning, I pray that somehow it will touch you in a way that will challenge you that are saved and setting to become saved and working. Hello? In the book of Luke chapter 17 and verse 26 through verse 30, and as it was in the days of Noah. Oh my Lord, I've heard that message. I've heard that. Not the way you're going to hear it this morning. So shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man, or when Jesus Christ is about to come again. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also, and let me back up. Can you fathom the people that worked on the ark with Noah? Noah couldn't have built it by himself. They that had hands on were left. They that had hands on were left. You think about that and then listen to the message. Likewise, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. I want to preach this morning on the subject, these last day conditions, the things that are happening and transpiring today. There is a similarity to today and to the days of Noah and Lot. These days and the days of Noah and Lot are primarily identical to what they was in that day. And in these verses that I read to you this morning, it describes two families. One is the story of a preacher and his family, so that he wanted to save his family, so he built an ark. Now, the Bible tells me the reason he built the ark in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, said he built the ark to the saving of his household. Come on, that lets me know that there is something we can do as individuals to bring our families in and to keep our families under the shed blood of the Son of the living God. Can you say amen? There's something we can do. When it says he moved with fear, he moved with fear, it means he moved with a profound reverence. He walked softly before the Lord when God spoke to him and told him that a flood was coming that would destroy the world. Scott, he walked softly before the Lord, and he was busy preparing his family for what was just ahead. Listen to me. You've heard it ever since you was knee-high to a grasshopper. Jesus is coming, and he is coming. I don't care how long he has delayed his coming. That day is vastly approaching the world. Amen. So there's something we need to be doing about saving our family. It's time to lay aside the weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. It's time to lay aside of the differences. It's time to lay aside the fault finding. It's time to lay aside the gossiping. It's time to lay aside of the things that have demanded so much of your attention. It's time to lay aside the frivolous things of the world and begin to stand up and say, as for me and my family, we are going to serve the Lord. Amen. You see, then there's another story about another man and his family. A man who had an opportunity to cast his lot towards the high hills, but he chose instead to cast his tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah. He had a choice. Nobody makes you do what you do. You do what you do because you choose to do what you do. You're not going to be able to say, but God, he. But my wife. And a lot of us use our companion. I won't live for God because my wife can't live for God. I won't live for God. My husband won't. This is an individual affair. You've got a choice. You can pitch towards the world or you can pitch toward heaven. It's entirely a free moral choice that every individual makes. Amen. You see, he had a chance, but he pitched his tent towards Sodom. He dwelt in Sodom, and Sodom finally dwelt in his family. Are you listening to me? Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? And it's a story of a man who dwelt in a cave and became the father of his two daughters that had not known a man. He became the father of their children in a drunken stupor, a man that had an opportunity. If Noah could save his family, if Noah could guide his family, Lot had the choice to. I don't need to finish it. I want you to hear me this morning. God is speaking to us in this day through the Scripture and through the eternal Word of God Almighty. Look at what the Scripture has to say about those days. They were a day of total rejection of God. Man, we don't want God in our knowledge either. Hello? You said, well, Brother Ogden, I'm here because I want God in my knowledge. But you look around you, have the majority of the world, I don't want to hear about God. And you go to talking about God, and they get mad, and they want to leave. I tell you, that is a sign of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you listening to me? The Bible tells me, turn with me, I'm going to read all of these because I didn't have an opportunity to have them typed. But in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 2 and verse 5 through verse 7, In 2 Peter, it said, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities. He goes immediately from the antediluvian world, immediately to Lot's world, who is Sodom and Gomorrah, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them with an overthrow, making them an example to those after that should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the world. He says that there was only 8 people that were spared in the antediluvian world, and there was, historians tell us, roughly 36 million people in the then world, and only 8 of them were saved. Only 8 of them were delivered. And how that the antediluvian world was destroyed. And look at the other family with me, the family of Lot. Lot became the mayor of Sodom. Miss Lot was a high society lady. I want you to know something this morning, friend of mine. There's coming a day when God is going to balance the books, and the high society is not going to gain any preference with God Almighty. Only them that have been washed in the blood of the Son of the living God shall gain any favor with the Lord. Amen. Thank you for those weak amens this morning. Amen. Listen to me. She mingled with a crowd. He had 2 sons-in-laws, and they were real influential people in the cities of Sodom, and they were prominent people. And he had 2 daughters at home that had not known a man, and that made 8 people in his home. And then the scripture says that his sons and daughters. So apparently Lot had 2 sons that are not even mentioned in the Word of God. It says, and his sons. And so Uncle Abraham began to pray. God said, I am going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Uncle Abraham, he began to pray, God, if they be 50 in the city that's righteous, will you destroy it? God said, no. If they be 40, God said, no. If they be 30, no. If they be 20, no. I'll not destroy it. And then finally Lot hit on the number. If they be 10 righteous in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, will you spare it? And God said, I'll spare it. And Uncle Abraham, he thought, surely my family is living for God. Surely my kinfolk are living for God. And it must have been a sad day when Abraham got up the next morning and he looked toward the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah, and a holocaust of flame, a holocaust of horror was falling from heaven upon an ungodly world. And I can almost hear him, Brother Johnny, as he said, my God, not even my family was saved. Not even my relatives were saved. Not even my relatives were ready to meet God. And listen to me this morning, saints of mine. I want you to know that only the saved, only the saved, sanctified, are ready to go, are going to go when the trump of God sounds. He's not taking in the compromisers. He's not taking in of the iniquity. He's not taking in of the sin into heaven. You got to be clean. You got to be washed. You got to be pure in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, we preachers, because we want your tithes and offerings to keep coming in, we kind of compromise a little bit and say it's all right to sin a little bit. There is no little sin with God. And there is no little bit. Hello? Hello? You see, these people, the Bible said, they were carrying on just like they'll be carrying on in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. We carry on as though nothing's going to happen. You say, well, what about today, Pastor? You say there are a lot more people now compared up to the people then. There are roughly 4 billion people in the world today, and less than 2% of them are saved. Hello? You say, where do you get those statistics? Well, I get them. They're not off the top of my head. They said less than 20% of the church is ready to go. How many do we have this morning? Brother Jim, how many was here? 200. That means 20 people here, if statistics prove right, are ready to meet God. You say, I'm not judging. I'm simply saying, I'm saying there is a lot of people. Never has the church been as popular as it is today. Never has the church been as prosperous as it is today. Fine building, padded pews, carpeted floors, and everything, but never have we been further from God than we are today. I'm not judgmental. I'm just making a plain vanilla statement this morning of that. People think nothing at all about sinning. They think nothing at all about blaspheming the name of God. They think nothing at all about doing things that take the name of God in vain. They think nothing at all about transgressing the law of God. They think nothing at all about standing home in bed on Sunday morning. And yet you ask them, oh yeah, man, I'm saved. Watch me. Hello? Come on, say, I told you I got a message from God. God has told me to tell this congregation we had better prepare for His coming is sooner than you and I think it is. I know you so you've heard the old song and dance before, but God told me to tell you, you better clean up, because He's fixing the rapture up. Those that are really ready to meet Him, you say, I don't think you heard from God. Well, that's all right. You think what you want to, and I'll preach what God's given me. You do with it what you will. I'm going to walk out of here this morning with my hands clean. I'm not going to have anybody's blood on it. When I get through with this message this morning, I promise you, you walk out, do what you will, do what you please. But I've delivered my soul and delivered what God has given unto me to give unto you. Amen. You say, Brother Ogden, are you sure? Yes, I'm sure that there are really only 2% have really born-again believers in a world today. You see, it has crept, sin has, there used to be a time, now I'm not a hobby horse preacher. How many of my people know that I'm not a hobby horse preacher? I want you to say it so my visitors this morning won't think I'm a hobby horser. Come on, raise your hand. You know I'm not a hobby horser this morning. I don't get on hobby horses. I preach the love of God. I preach the grace of God. I preach the mercy of God, but I preach the judgment of God also. There was a time when we sure enough wouldn't give $5 to to a movie theater so we could go hear God's name used in vain. There used to be a time when we wouldn't allow that in our home. And yet today we sit and listen to it. Come on. Come on. And the reason we do is because we lay it off on this fact that is the way of the world is today, and there's nothing I can do about it. There may be nothing I can do about the using of God's name in vain. There may be nothing I can do about the movie theater, but there is something I can do with my life and with my family, and I declare we are going to live for God Almighty. Amen. You say, you don't have that much control over your family. My family's here if you want to ask them. You see, I realize that there has been a move of God. And there is a move of God that's going on even right now. On one side, there's a revival of righteousness unto them that accept Jesus Christ. But on the other side, there is a raging, ranting, raving wickedness that's going through our country like a steam engine and leaving a swath of wickedness and immorality that we're all having to face today in our homes and in our society. There's a swath of wickedness that's going through the land today. And if you can't see the wickedness that's going on in the land today, you're in worse shape than I thought you was. Listen to me. This nation was built upon a principle of God. The Bible said, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Now some of you be shouting if I was just preaching, but I'm not just preaching, I've got a message. The first 103 colleges out of 106 that were established were Christian colleges. The first college established in 1635 was established to train young men for the ministry of the gospel. And do you know what college that was? That was Harvard University that was established to train young men for God Almighty. You see, in 1647, they had a law, and it was called the Satan Deluder Law, that all people must learn how to read. And the reason they wanted them to read was so they could read the Bible, so they could read the Scripture. But now there is no Bible read in our schools and our country. And the Bible is still the bestseller on the market. But I want you to know it's a forgotten book. It's something we pick up and bring to church on Sunday morning so we can act religious before the world. But I want you to know we need to read it and hear it and live by it and die by it, because we're going to be judged by it. Woo! Somebody say, good preaching. It's just disturbing me, you sitting out there. Amen. Hear me. Hear me. Hear me. Hear me. Hear me. Amen. The New England Primer. Anybody ever picked up a New England Primer? Well, one of the books for the first grader. It used to be McDuffie readers. Anybody remember the McDuffie? But there was an England Primer before the McDuffie book that we taught in a school. And 97% of it was the Bible. And in it, it makes this statement. When Adam fell, we all became sinners. Oh, we don't want that today. My God, I ain't no sinner. I drive a Hummer. I got a Mercedes-Benz, a Porsche. Man, I ain't no sinner. I don't care what you got under your belt. I don't care what you got in your bank account. I don't care what kind of home you live in. I don't care how stuffy shirts you are. I want you to know how we're all sinners until we're born again and washed in the blood of the Son of the living God. Amen. You see, I know what some people say. Oh, you say, Brother Ogden, these new laws that we've got are the protection of our First Amendment, of the Constitution of the United States of America. But I don't buy that junk. I said, I don't buy that. I believe that God Almighty should be honored wherever we are, in any place that we are, in life or at work, wherever we are. There ought to be an honor under God Almighty. You see, in Maryland there was a law that was passed. And you'll just keep watching me flip the pages. In Maryland, there was a law that was passed. Somebody said, I don't believe you ought to use notes. I don't believe the Holy Ghost started to give it all to you. He did give it to me. I wrote it down so I'd remember it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And anybody says they don't use notes, they're storing to you. They got notes in their head somewhere. If they don't, they'll shoot scatterbrained. In Maryland, there was a law that said you had to believe in God to be an official in the state. And a few years ago, that law was abolished. No longer do you have to believe in God to be an official. And a lot of people are trying to say these things are for my protection, that they're there for the protection of the church. But I can't buy that either. It's the spirit of godliness that has gripped our nation and has gripped the people of this nation, because we do not want to retain God in our knowledge. We don't want a preacher telling us this is wrong, and we don't want any standards at all. It's because we have chose to put God on the back burner and live our life to please ourselves. Amen. Amen. Am I telling you the truth? I'm going to. If everybody walks out, I'll keep my wife. I know she'll be here. And what is the result of this godliness? Go to Romans chapter 1. And verse 22. Romans chapter 1 and verse 22. Through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. What happened to them? God said, because you think you're wise, I'm going to let you be fools. God said, because you don't want me in your knowledge, and then what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn you over to a reprobate mind that you might believe a lie and be damned. Amen. Come on, look over somebody and say, he is preaching the word. This is what they did. They completely forgot God. You tell me this morning, if you honestly can, tell me that this is a godly nation. Tell me, if this is a godly nation, if it was a godly nation, there wouldn't be room to seat the people here. There wouldn't be room to seat them in the Methodist, the Baptist, the Lutheran, and the Presbyterian. You say you think some of them are saved? Yeah, I think some of them are saved. I think some Catholic are saved. I said I think some of them are really genuinely believe in Jesus Christ. It's not the name you hang over the door outside. It's what you got in your heart and your life. But because they chose not to retain God? When do I choose not to retain God in my knowledge? When I do those things that are not godly. Hello, hello, hello. They left God out of the whole picture. And most of us professing saints of God do things and never ask direction of God. Amen. We make plans as though we've got tomorrow, and I don't have but right now. Amen. I just now noticed it. I ain't the least bit dizzy. Amen. 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 I said, hear me. I said, we make our choices. But this is what the Bible says happened to you. When you begin to worship the Creator, a creature more than the Creator. Verse 26, who changed the truth of God into a lie and served the creature more than the Creator. And that's why we got so many homosexuals in the land today. You say, you're going to preach against homosexuality? Fasten your seatbelt. I'm here to tell you, I'm going to preach against homosexuality. I'm going to preach against abortion. I'm going to preach against lying. I'm going to preach against cheating. I'm going to preach against stealing. I'm going to preach against dishonoring God with a mat. Come on. You say, you mean you're going to really get on the horse and ride it? I'm going to tell you, I'm going to ride it till it drops this morning. And God's trying to tell us, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, I'm coming. God's trying to shake some of us up from our lethargy, from our hypocrisy. Homosexuality today, it's because they're worshiping the creature more than the Creator. You say, what do you got against homosexuality? First of all, it's not godly, and it's against the Word of God. And you say, you mean you think all homosexuals are lost, dying, going to hell? I'm telling you, as long as they live in that lifestyle, they're dying and going to hell. But there is a hope. I said there is a hope. I said there is a deliverance. You can come in and find forgiveness and deliverance. Thank you for those few amens. We'll try to get something out of the rest of you. The serving and the worshiping the human body. We spend more time primping than praying. Oh, I ain't just talking to the women. Some of you thought, well, boy, he sure got the women, didn't he? I'm talking to you men. We put on more deodorant, fluff our hair, brush our teeth. I hope to God you do. We bathe our bodies. We clothe it. We take care of this. We're primping, but not praying. Instead of being at the house of God, the world's at the dance halls anymore. Hello! Amen. Well, back to it again. We worship the body. Amen. Oh. Amen. Yes. I don't know if too many here that do it, but people work out trying to keep the midriff, and I see most of us don't, trying to keep the midriff in. Hello. But they worship human bodies more than we're worshiping God, who is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I'm going to speak plain to you this morning, but I believe that God's completely ordered it. You say, I thought you were pretty plain already. I'm fixing to get plainer. I believe God would have me to say it. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them, in Romans 1, unto vile affection. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliceness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despised, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient, without understanding, a covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do them, but have pleasure in them that do them. Are you listening to me? God says, as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be. San Francisco, by and large, every official in San Francisco, California, is a profession homosexual. Now we've got churches voting whether it's right or wrong. We do. We have churches that are ordaining homosexual. I no more know homosexual sleeping with another man telling me how to live for God. Hallelujah. Come on, saints of God, say amen to me. Amen. Why is there so much immorality? Why is sex so rampant? Why is there so much iniquity? It's because we have chose not to retain God. You say, Brother Ogden, that's not so in the church. I'm telling you, the professing saints of God have chose not to honor Him who is the Lord and ruler of all. We have chosen to do our own thing. I don't want nobody telling me what to do. I don't want no preacher telling me how to live. That's the reason and some churches are so jam-packed is because of the preacher says nothing, and when he gets through, he said nothing, and when he does something, he's done nothing. I said, it's time the church of the living God stood up and let them know that we love God and we are going to serve God. Amen. In the days of Lot, there was a cry that went up to heaven about the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah, and that they were sinners exceedingly before the Lord. And He sent angels. Now get this, how depraved people can get. And people are depraved when they rape. And there was one woman, 82 years old, raped twice in the last month, and it was on TV, and they built a fence. The law officers over in Dallas, urban area, built a fence to keep the intruders. An 82-year-old woman was raped twice, less than a month. That's depraved. Amen. It's depraved when a man, we'll lay down a little girl and molest her. That's depraved. I can see some of you ain't with me. It's depraved when a man will take a little boy and molest. That's depraved. It's depraved when a man's got to look at pornography to get himself worked up to go outside, to commit an act of vulgarity and immorality. Come on, are you folks listening to me this morning? I said, it's depraved. It's depraved. It's depraved. And men are making multiplicit millions of dollars on pornography today. Amen. And you tell me we're a godly nation. We won't even let them pray in school. Oh, I know there's one exception to the rule, I've been told around here, but by and large, they were so depraved until two angels came down, and Lot took them in his house. And when Lot took them in his house, how the old men, how the middle-aged men, how the young men came, and they beat at the house, at the door of the house of Lot, and said, send those men out, that we may know them. We want to commit lewd acts with them. What a depraved thing it is that Lot said, don't do this wickedness. I've got two daughters that have never known men. I'll send them out. Have your way with them. It's a depraved society when a daddy will offer his virgin daughters to a depraved and a wicked and ungodly world. Somebody say amen. Amen. How depraved can you get that you'd offer your daughters a sacrifice? But I'm telling you, society is depraved. Are you listening to me? And we saints of God sit smug as a bug in the rug. And we let the powers of principalities that's above us, and there is powers above the city. I was praying the other day, and the Holy Spirit instructed me, and you folk know I don't tell you the Holy Ghost told me anything or God said anything to me unless I know that God said it to me. God said, Tom, there's a spirit of witchcraft that's over this city. There's a spirit of rebellion that is over this city. There's a spirit of stubbornness that is over this city, and I want you to bind Friday night in the prayer meeting. I said, let's bind these forces of hell. You see, if I want heaven open, I've got to stop the powers that are out there. I've got to bind the powers and the principalities that are here. The devil's got certain little imps that he sends out to do something. Oh, yeah, and another thing he said, Tom, this city is full of prejudice. I already knew that. But he said, if you'll pray and if you'll bind those principalities in high places, he said, I'll open heaven upon you and the glory of my spirit will fall on you. Oh, hallelujah. We're depraved. You know, don't talk about me. If I lie to go on without really interceding and being an intercessor prayer to God, I am putting my stamp of approval upon it. Because I'm not fighting against it. Come on. Amen. You see, here was the case in that day. But you say, Brother Ogden, this is a different day. I know. This is different today. As it was in the days of Lot. Their church is meeting and voting, as I said, to see if homosexuality is sin. You don't have to be at a conference to find out if homosexuality is a sin. You don't have to be at a church conference to vote whether immorality is right or not. You don't have to be at a church conference to vote if it's all right to have adultery and have sex with another woman. You don't have to go to a conference to find out if it's all right to pay your tithe or don't pay your tithe. You don't have to go to a conference to find out whether it's right to drink or to not drink. You don't have to go to a conference to find out whether it's all right to gossip and backbite or not. You don't have to go to a conference to find out whether it's all right to steal and to cheat and to lie. The Word of God tells you plainly that they that do such things shall receive the recompense in their body. Hello. Hello, you see. In Leviticus 18:22, listen to what it says. And I wrote an article, and I've still got it. The Dallas paper wrote a number of years ago, and we're still in the storefront. They wrote an article that there's nothing in the Bible that denounces homosexuality, and they wrote down a whole large article. I sat down at my desk in the office and I penned an article, and it's a good article. Penned an article and sent it to the Dallas Morning News, and I sent it to I took it out here to the McKinney Gazette. And the Dallas Morning News that wrote there's nothing wrong with homosexuality, that there's no Bible scriptures for it. I gave them scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture, after scripture out of the New Testament. And They wrote me back and said my piece was too controversial. How many of you remember, though, I got them to run it in the McKinney Herald, McKinney's Gazette? It ran in the McKinney Gazette. Hey, man, thank God for somebody that would at least stand up. I said, I don't know about anybody else, but I said, and he said in that statement, the Dallas paper, there's no churches against it, no denominations against it. And I made the statement in my article, there may be no denominations against it, but I want you to know there's one church that is against it. That's Cornerstone Worship Center in McKinney, Texas. We hate homosexuality, but we love the homosexual. We hate their sin, but we love the sinner. I'm all saints of God. Hear me this morning. Hell, you say, you're just too radical for me, preacher. I won't be back. That's all right. I'm going to tell the truth whether anybody wants to hear it or not. And I've told you before, I'll tell you again. If I have to go to under an old oak tree and it's just me and my wife, I'll get her saved every Sunday morning. Leviticus 18:22, man shall not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Are you listening to me? My Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9 and verse 11, turn with me please. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9 up to verse 11. Listen to it. How you say it's not wrong, but listen to what Paul the Apostle said. In 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, that is homosexuality, nor abusers of themselves. Let me say something to the young men and the young women. There's no room for masturbation in your life. Boy, isn't that terrible? Preacher gets so plain-mouthed. There's no room. Somebody say amen. I'm feeling very vulnerable up here. There's no room for masturbation, either in the boys or the girls or the men or the women. Plumb filthy mouth this morning, ain't it, Johnny? Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor drunkards, nor revilers, troublemakers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But listen to what Paul said, and such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You were that. He said you were that. You were that. But God hath delivered you and set you free. Hallelujah. Two or three told me yesterday, last Sunday morning, was the best that ever heard me preach. I hope I get a compliment this morning. Hey, man, whether I do or not, I'm still going to preach it. Someone says it's a social maladjustment. See, this is it. It's not sin. It's a maladjustment. You're right about that. It's a maladjustment. But that's not all it is. You say it's a psychological disorder. You're right about that. But that's not all it is. It's the lust of the devil. It's a perversion of a right desire. It's feeding the lust of the flesh rather than the Spirit of God. My Bible tells me these last days are going to be dangerous times. Times that's going to be hard to bear. And I'll be very God honest with you. It's never been harder. I've lived for God 34 years. I've preached this everlasting gospel 34 years, and I've never struggled like I'm struggling today. I know in whom I have believed. I'm persuaded he's able to keep me. But I'm here to tell you the honest God truth. I'm not going to get up here and tell you I never have a problem. I'm telling you that it's hard to bear in this last day that we're living in.
Amen.
We're being tried as by fire. And only that which comes through the refining fire is going to make it. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Amen. Notice what he says about the Gerasenes again. He says there'll be men without natural affection. And then he says they would be incompetent. And that word incompetent in the Greek means loose morals. We have loose morals. We have very little morals. And I say that to the shame of the church. The church has almost lost all its morals. Well, thank you for that one amen. I got one. Do I hear two? Do I hear three? Could I get an amen all over the congregation once? Amen. Amen. But you say, Brother Ogden, what can we do? Send them to a psychiatrist, somebody says. 92% of your psychiatrists ain't saved. You know what they tell them to do? Do whatever feels good.
Amen.
Whatever feels good. That's our society. If it feels good, do it. Come on. Come on. Come on, saints of God. Stay with me. Amen. It's not a psychiatrist that a man like that needs. It's the blood of Jesus Christ to wash them free from their sins. Now I know what you're saying. There are some things that just salvation just doesn't cover. But I want you to see what the Scripture says. Go back to 1 Corinthians 6 and 11. But since we're some of you, it covered it then. It covers it now. Are you hearing me? But you see, he said, you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit of God. What we need is the blood of the blood that washed away every stain, the blood that washed away every sin. I wish I could sing good. I'd sing, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Anita Bryant had more guts than most Pentecostal preachers. She stood up against homosexuality, lost her advertising campaign with orange juice, but she stood up. She had guts enough to call sin, sin. We can't be sophisticated. We've got to call sin, sin. Wherever we find it. Are you listening to me? We have come to the place where there is no white. It's all off shade gray. But I'm here to tell you, you are in a fanatical church with a fanatical preacher. I am going to heaven, and I'm trying to make up a train load to go with me. Hallelujah. 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 You say, Brother Ogden, you ought to be more tolerant. I ought to be tolerant. I ought to be kind. Scott, I ought to be tolerant with you. I ought to be kind to you. And I want to be kind. I want to be tolerant. but I cannot tolerate sin. Are you listening to me? I cannot. Well, you say, Brother Scott got sin in his life. No, I didn't say that. How to be tolerant of a sinner, and I am tolerant. I don't go up the first thing and say, man, you're going to hell. Don't you know you're going to hell because you're doing what you're doing? I go up and first of all try to tell them that God loves them. But I want you to know sin will damn your eternal immortal soul to an everlasting hell. Are you hearing me? I'm not talking about murder and adultery. I'm talking about just neglecting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will send you to hell. Hello? You see, the Bible says that when you begin to worship the creation more than the Creator, you can't satisfy the lust of the flesh. You know, the more you read pornography, the more you got to read, and the nastier it is, the nastier it's got to get. Because the mind keeps demanding to satisfy the lust. Come on, are you saints of God listening to me this morning? Amen. You can't satisfy the lust of the flesh. You'll find yourself being carried away by the devil. Sin is not like Brill cream. A little dab won't do you. The more you sin, the more you want to sin. Amen. That's the reason Christians get out of church, backslide. Amen. Because they've allowed sin to come in and they thought a little dab wouldn't hurt them. Amen. I can do this and get away with it, but it isn't long until you're doing this, till you're doing that. Until soon, you're out yonder. Come on, say. Any saint of God know what I'm talking about that's come back to God? Amen. My Bible says, in the days of Noah, according to Genesis 6, verse 11 and 12, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth in all his ways. And we see the same before us today as we live, and we think nothing about it. Come on. In comparison, 2% of 4 billion is not as many as 8 compared to 36 million. So it's as wicked today, if not more wicked, than it was then.